You're listening to the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. I'm Heather Vail, and joining me is Heather Reeder, volunteer coordinator at the Las Vegas Natural History Museum. She's also the co-creator of their Wonderland Mystery at the Museum interactive whodunit event, which is coming up later this month. Heather, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited.
So for those who aren't familiar, what is the Las Vegas Natural History Museum?
It is, I'm a bit biased, the best museum. It's over on Las Vegas Boulevard North, and it's a private nonprofit museum. We are a Smithsonian affiliate, and we're accredited with the American Alliance of Museums. We're also a federal and state repository for fossils and artifacts, and that comes in handy for any of these local students, UNLV, CSN, who want to dabble in the anthropology and paleontology world. But for just those who love museums, we have multiple galleries that have just so many different elements about it. So if you have someone in your family that's really obsessed with dinosaurs, we have our prehistoric gallery. If someone has a fancy for marine animals and sharks, we have our marine room. We have our international gallery that has showcases animals from around the world. We have our geology room. We have our treasures of Egypt. I mean, we just have so much that could just keep families and kiddos entertained for hours. And it's indoors. So that's another perk for here in Vegas.
Yeah, exactly. How long has the museum been around?
It was established in and kind of tried to start in 1989, but we officially opened our doors in 1991. So we're actually going to have our 34th birthday coming up in July of this year.
Nice. Okay. Now, before that, of course, you've got the Wonderland Mystery at the Museum. What's that event all about?
So that, as you said earlier, it's an interactive kind of whodunit fundraiser event, and it's what we like to call kind of a spotlight event for the volunteers and interns that come through the museum. It's their opportunity to kind of showcase their talents, and they get to give their insights. So this year's theme is a Wonderland. So it's based off of Lewis Carroll's Alice's Adventures in Wonderland and Through the Looking Glass. So we're not dabbling in Disney or Tim Burton. We're going with classic literature. And it's so much fun because the volunteers and the interns, they get to help with the decorations. They get to portray some of the characters. So we're going to have our very own Mad Hatter and Caterpillar and White Rabbit. And myself and my co-creator, Turi, we're going to be siblings to the Queen of Hearts, because for our storyline, the Queen of Hearts has met with her demise. And so guests are being summoned to our Wonderland to be able to interrogate all of us as Wonderland characters to see if they could figure out what happened to the Queen of Hearts.
Okay, so it's kind of like a classic murder mystery night, but with the Lewis Carroll Wonderland theme?
Exactly. Yeah, it's a murder mystery. It's like playing a real life version of Clue just at our museum.
Wow, that sounds like fun.
It's so much fun. This is our third year doing it. So I'm just excited that it is so popular and well received that we get to do it a third time around.
Yeah, awesome. Why did you choose the Wonderland theme for this year?
It was kind of voted on by myself and Turi and by the volunteers. We took in their feedback. We wanted their ideas on what could be utilized as a mystery that could handle a lot of people involved versus doing like a small game where you might have like 6 to 8 people involved. This one involves upwards to 100 people. So how do you do a murder mystery for 100 people that isn't that easy to solve? So everyone felt Alice in Wonderland, or at least Wonderland, was a topic that people could easily find costumes for, that's easy enough to be able to do and make decorations for. And then just creating the storyline for it was pretty easy as well.
Awesome. Okay, so besides solving the murder mystery, what types of activities will there be at the event?
So we are very excited to have Food Therapy LV food truck that is going to be there that night. And a part of the tickets, the guest purchase is going to include a $10 food voucher for that food truck. We're also going to have some mocktails available that night that have been created by she's amazing, Jennifer Yim. She read through the Alice book to kind of find details in order to make an inspirational drink from that. And we're also going to have some fundraiser games in several of the galleries, one of which is the Queen's. We're going to do kind of a flamingo golfing game.
Oh, yeah.
And we have our very own Wonderland jail. So people can throw their friends in jail, and a bail is a donation to the museum. So there's just a whole lot of different things. So whether they want to be active in the storyline and try to solve the mystery, or if they want to spend their times at the games, we're also going to have a chess game that they can sit and play if they want. I've also had people just show up and want to watch other people try to solve it. So it's really as involved as you want to be.
Cool. Okay. And what specifically do the funds raised go to support?
They go to support the museum and its mission for education and making education accessible and just fun. All the different programs and all the different events we put on. It goes towards, we have animals that live here. Our husbandry department takes care of sharks and lizards and snakes and guinea pigs. And all those critters, they need food. They need stuff to make and keep them happy. The funds are going to go towards just upkeep of all of the things around the museum, the different displays. So it just goes right back into the museum so that, you know, we have amazing things for people to see for more years to come.
Nice. So a Wonderland mystery at the museum is happening this month during February, but when and where exactly is it happening?
So it is happening Saturday, February 22nd, starts at 5:30, goes until 8:30, and it's going to be at the museum itself, located at 900 Las Vegas Boulevard North. You can get your tickets from our website. There's going to be a click to lead to Mystery at the Museum landing page, so people can see pictures from the last 2 years. They'll be able to see the gameplay instructions, so they can kind of get familiar of what they're walking into. They're going to be able to purchase tickets. And the fun thing is they get to pick which kingdom they want to come from. And there's going to be four kingdom choices, and each has its own kind of personality to themselves. The Kingdom of Hearts, Kingdom of Diamonds, Kingdom of Spades, and Kingdom of Clubs. So you just pick the kingdom you want to represent. That doesn't mean you're stuck in that kingdom. It just means you get to be inspired and dress that way. Or you can even purchase ad space, because part of the tickets, every guest is going to get kind of an event program, but we're designing it to look like a newspaper. And that newspaper is what the guests are going to use to try to solve the crime, because there's going to be a lot of hints and stories and twists and turns kind of built into the newspaper. So even if they don't get to question every single character that night, they'll still have all of the opportunities to try to solve the mystery.
Oh, that's awesome. All right. So the museum's located at 900 Las Vegas Boulevard North, but of course, Las Vegas Boulevard has a ton of things on it. So where exactly? Put it in context. What else is around the museum?
Absolutely. So we're right next to, we're adjacent to Cashman Center. But if people aren't familiar with that, if they just kind of drive past the Neon Museum, that would be the next closest kind of landmark that they might be familiar with.
Okay, awesome. So what's the website where people can go to find out more about the Las Vegas Natural History Museum or get tickets to a Wonderland mystery at the museum?
So they just have to go to lvnhm.org. Those are the letters that stand for Las Vegas Natural History Museum. And at the top of the page, you're just going to click more. You're going to see a pull-down bar. And within that pull-down bar, you're going to just kind of scroll down to Mystery at the Museum 25. And that'll have all the details about that event. But the museum page itself is very user-friendly. It has everything that's going to be coming up in February on the event calendar. And that's where we also will post events coming up, along with social media, Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. We have a lot of things that get posted there.
Okay, awesome. So once again, that website is lvnhm.org. That stands for Las Vegas Natural History Museum, lvnhm.org. You can find out all about the Las Vegas Natural History Museum. You can find out about the various exhibits that they have there on a regular basis. You can look at the event calendar. You can also follow them on social media. And the Wonderland Mystery at the Museum is, of course, coming up on Saturday, February 22nd from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. And it's happening at the Las Vegas Natural History Museum, which is 900 Las Vegas Boulevard North near the Neon Museum and Cashman Field. And if you want to get your tickets, you can do that online. Once again, lvnhm.org. And we've been speaking today with Heather Reeder. She's a volunteer coordinator at the Las Vegas Natural History Museum and co-creator of the Wonderland Mystery at the Museum, which sounds like so much fun, that interactive whodunit event with the Lewis Carroll Wonderland theme. Sounds so fantastic. Heather, I really appreciate you being here and letting us know more about, first of all, what's happening at the museum, but also especially about this event. And it really sounds like a great time. So I hope a lot of people go out and have fun solving the mystery of who killed the Queen of Hearts. So thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Yep, come on down. We'd love to see everybody.
From the personal experiences that shaped you to the accomplishments that shaped the world, every moment of a veteran's service is meaningful. At the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, we ensure those moments are never forgotten. For 25 years, the collection has made the experiences of U.S. military veterans accessible to all. Veterans, now is the time to share your story and make our history more complete. To submit your stories, photographs, and documents, visit loc.gov/vets today.
I'm Heather Vail, and this is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. Joining me is Dr. Wael Eid, co-founder and CEO of MD Meals. Dr. Eid is a pulmonary, critical care, and sleep specialist with over 20 years of experience. At the Las Vegas-based MD Meals, he combines his medical expertise and passion for nutrition to help patients manage their health through proper diet. Dr. Eid, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
So what exactly is MD Meals?
MD Meals is a Las Vegas-based medical meal delivery service founded by physicians with a first-hand knowledge how proper diet can prevent, delay, and control many medical problems. We provide meals meticulously analyzed by dietitian nutritionists to make sure these meals fit the society guidelines for chronic medical conditions like diabetes, heart disease, kidney disease. These meals are fully cooked. We deliver to your home so you can enjoy it at the comfort of your home.
Okay. When was MD Meals first started?
We started the process over 2 years ago, but it was launched or started probably a few months ago.
Wow. Okay. So brand new.
Yes.
And what prompted you to open the business?
So as a physician, we see how many patients and a lot of people around us, they don't follow the diet recommended by their healthcare providers for diabetes, for kidney disease, and so forth, for many reasons. And that has really significant effect on their health. They don't follow their recommended diet because of many reasons. Sometimes the fast pace of life, busy lifestyle, lack of knowledge how to prepare these meals, lack of knowledge how to cook delicious meals. For whatever reasons, we see that people do not follow the recommended diet. We wanted to do something about this. We wanted to be easy for anybody with chronic medical conditions to eat healthy meals, delicious meals that fit their diet. This is why we started the process. We do know that 1 out of 10 adults in the U.S. eat enough fruit and vegetables like recommended. We know the prevalence of obesity and diabetes and pre-diabetes is gradually increasing, mostly because of poor diet. So we wanted to focus on this aspect, and we wanted to make it easy for people to follow these recommendations, knowing that it's a major benefit for their health, not on the just the individual level. Even if you look at the big picture nationally, we spend like over $4.5 trillion on healthcare. I believe we don't spend enough on prevention, like healthy diet, exercise, proper sleep. There is a lot of data showing that if you eat healthy, if adults in the US eat healthy diet, we could be saving close to $88 billion a year. So on the national level, this is something we need to focus on. And the individual level for healthier lifestyle, for better health, and even financially, if you look at people, they think that if they eat fast food or, you know, food that's not prepared appropriately, they may save financially. But over the long run, with the effect of, on health, it is actually more costly and not to eat proper diet. So this way, we thought on individual level, on a general level, I think this is something we need to focus on.
Yeah, definitely. Now, do you think maybe people tend to rely on medication rather than nutrition because it's easier to just take a pill?
That's true. They don't realize that these medications, you need to take another medicine, then another medicine, then you end up with new complications, then you need to see your doctor, then you end up in the hospital. And that will add up to a really inconvenience, poor quality of life. And if you look at the big picture, it's not actually easier and it's more complicated.
Yeah. What type of food is required to treat chronic conditions?
So each medical conditions have a special recommendation. And our dietitian nutritionist, they analyze these meals and they make sure each medical problem, we follow their committed guideline for it. For example, for heart problem, for heart disease, you need to limit the salt intake, increase the amount of fruit and vegetables, increase the amount of fiber, decrease the amount of saturated fat and trans fat, and increase the unsaturated fat. So for other medical problems, for example, gout, you need to limit the amount of meat and make sure more fiber, balanced diet. So each medical condition has its own recommendation by medical society, and we try to follow with these meals, these recommendations.
Okay. Now you mentioned a few of them, but which chronic conditions do you focus on mostly?
No, we focus mostly on cardiovascular, and that include heart problem like coronary artery disease, heart attack, heart failure, and vascular disease, which is high blood pressure, stroke, poor circulation to the legs. So that's the cardiovascular health. We have other category, which is diabetes, type 1 and type 2. We have pre-diabetes. We know that prevalence of diabetes and pre-diabetes increasing significantly in the U.S. Over 30% of adult population now are pre-diabetic, which means they are at very high risk of turning into diabetic in the near future if they don't follow appropriate recommendation with diet and exercise. We have also meals for chronic kidney disease. And kidney disease are many levels or stages, from early stages, which is minor problem in the kidney from level 1 to 3. Then we have meals specifically for stage 4. And we have meals for stage 5, which is complete failure of the kidney for people on dialysis. We have meals also for gout, which is a joint problem related to high uric acid in the body with a deposit in the joint causing flare-up. We have meals for weight loss, for overweight. And we added also the general meals for healthy diet in general. We thought when people order meals, sometimes they are spouses, they don't have any medical conditions and they want to eat healthy meals. So we added that category to make it easier. And we worked recently on multiple medical conditions, people with many problems, like if they have high blood pressure and kidney problem and diabetes, which is a very common thing to see. So if you click on that option and you put your medical problem there, it will automatically select for you which meals you should pick. So for people with multiple conditions, not just one, we have that option too.
Okay. That's a lot of different options. What about meals for cancer patients?
We don't have at this time. That's probably coming in the future. This is something we can look at. There's many options coming in the future for GI problem, for cancer, like you mentioned, for other categories. We're going to hopefully add more and more options for the future.
Awesome. Now, you talked about proper nutrition being good for prevention as well as treatment. So do you recommend that people without current health issues look into the MD Meals service as well?
Absolutely. We have the healthy category, and that can be meals for people who want to stay healthy. At the same time, over a third of people in the United States are pre-diabetic, and we have that category. So you can, if you are pre-diabetic, you can eat these meals. They can help prevent and reverse that. We know from many studies that people with diabetes type 2, if they eat healthy meals according to the recommendation, many of them will be off their medication and the testing will be negative for diabetes. They will go into remission just by following appropriate diet. So I think even healthy meals will prevent that from hopefully happening in the future, especially for someone who has family history of heart problem or diabetes or high blood pressure. These meals will help prevent these complications.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Okay, so where can listeners go to find out more about MD Meals or even sign up for meal delivery?
It's mdmeals.com. You go to our website. We try to make it very user-friendly. On the first page, you can see all these medical problems. So you can select yours. If you have high blood pressure or if you have kidney problem, heart problem, you click on that and you see all the different meal options. You see the picture of these meals. You see the ingredients, the nutritional facts. You can select these meals and they will be delivered to you. So our website is mdmeals.com.
All right. Awesome. So once again, that website is mdmeals.com. Super simple. mdmeals.com. You'll see that there's lots of different health conditions offered there, as well as just healthy options if you're just looking for a healthy diet. Pre-diabetes, of course, and everything else is there that we've talked about, including heart disease, hypertension, kidney disease, weight loss, mdmeals.com. And we've been speaking today with Dr. Wael Eid. He's the co-founder and CEO of MD Meals. And Dr. Eid, I really appreciate you being here and letting us know about this new service and how proper nutrition can help people take care of their medical conditions, chronic conditions, in a better way than just relying on medication. And wow, that you can cure diabetes, basically send it into remission with the proper nutrition. That's absolutely fantastic news. So thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much for giving me this opportunity.
Hey, wouldn't it be great if life came with a remote control? You know, you could hit pause when you needed to, or hit rewind, like that time you knocked down that wasp's nest.
Uh-oh.
Or that time you forgot to roll up your windows in the car wash.
Fantastic.
Yeah, a remote control would have come in handy then. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome. But pre-diabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop pre-diabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Life doesn't come with a remote control.
Yikes!
So you're on your own with the wasps. You have the power to take control of prediabetes. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
You're listening to the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. I'm Heather Vail, and I'm speaking with Dr. Scott Smith, President of the American Academy of Pediatric Dentistry, or AAPD, and board member for the AAPD Foundation. Tooth decay is the most common chronic childhood disease in the U.S., and it can also affect a child's nutrition, speech development, and self-esteem. But it's preventable and often reversible. February is National Children's Dental Health Month, and the AAPD has some updates on the importance of good dental habits for kids. Dr. Smith, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to talk with you.
So what exactly is the American Academy of Pediatric Dentistry?
We are an association that is advancing oral health for all children. Our vision is the optimum oral health for all children, and our mission is to support our members in that goal.
Okay. And what's the AAPD Foundation?
The APBF Foundation was established by the AAPD as a way of pooling resources to try to reach some areas that are underserved. Last year, we gave $2 million towards programs to increase access to care.
Wow. Okay. That's fantastic. So why is tooth decay so common in the U.S.?
Well, it's a result of a bacterial infection, and bacteria is in everyone's mouth. We can't prevent that. And that bacteria reacts with any complex carbohydrate in food to produce acid. And that acid demineralizes the teeth and washes out the calcium. Well, fortunately, saliva is rich in calcium, so it remineralizes the tooth. And fluoride is key in that process because it facilitates the remineralization of the teeth following an acid attack. What fluoride does is it binds with the tooth that's been demineralized and brings the calcium back into the tooth. And it remineralizes it a little bit stronger than it was before and helps prevent cavity. That's why fluoride is so key.
So I know there's a little bit of controversy around fluoridated water. How effective is it to drink fluoride in city water, for example?
Well, it's the most effective public health policy that we have because it provides a small dose, which is all that's necessary, the teeny, teeny amount of fluoride in the water. We do 0.7 parts per million. And that exposure is one of the key components of prevention. Another is fluoride in the toothpaste. And the professionally applied fluoride in your pediatric dental office.
Okay, so what exactly is the number one way to prevent tooth decay?
Well, that starts at home at a very early age. And the best way to prevent it is with controlling diet and with frequent brushing with a fluoride-containing toothpaste. We recommend twice a day.
And when should a child have their first dental visit?
Well, we like to see the children by their eruption of the first tooth or their first birthday. Obviously, if it's past that, we'll see them anytime. But if we can get them early, we can educate the parents about the importance of frequency of snacking. When we have a little bit of sugar, it produces acid for 20 minutes. When we have a lot of sugar, you get acid for 20 minutes. So it's not how much you have or how much complex carbohydrate, it's how often you have it. So kids who will snack all day and walk around with food all the time, or even a sippy cup full of juice, even if you dilute it, that will lead to cavity. So we're educating the parent and talking about the importance of brushing, setting up that routine, because that routine can result in a healthy smile for a lifetime.
What happens if they're snacking on, let's say, baby carrots instead of cookies?
And it still will produce acid, not quite as much, and it won't lower the pH quite as much, but it is still effective. So it's not, again, what they're having so much is how often they're having it.
Okay. And what happens if someone doesn't take their child to the dentist at an early age because maybe they think, well, okay, they can't brush anyway yet. They have no teeth or one tooth. So then what happens?
That's right. But if we can educate the parents on not sleeping with a bottle at night, that's a major cause of decay in children, is early childhood caries when they're sleeping with a bottle at night. So it's how to deal with that and how to break that habit is very, very key. And setting them up beforehand. We want to set the kids up for a successful smile.
Okay. And how are pediatric dentists different from family dentists?
A pediatric dentist is one who's gone back to school for additional 2 to 3 years of training and focusing just on oral health, just of children and prevention and dealing with the issues of children and dental health and their experience in the office.
Now, you mentioned brushing twice a day at home, and you mentioned being cautious about frequency of snacking. What else can parents do at home to help prevent cavities?
Well, helping prevent cavities is modeling good behavior for themselves, for the kids, and just setting up those habits.
Okay. Where can listeners go to find out more information about childhood tooth decay and good dental habits for kids?
The best resource is mychildrensteeth.org.
Perfect. So once again, that website is mychildrensteeth.org, mychildrensteeth.org. You can find out more about pediatric dentistry, tooth decay among children. Of course, as we mentioned, tooth decay is the most common chronic childhood disease in the U.S. So mychildrensteeth.org. And we've been speaking today with Dr. Scott Smith. He's president of the American Academy of Pediatric Dentistry and also board member for the AAPD Foundation. And Dr. Smith, I appreciate you being here right in time for National Children's Dental Health Month, letting us know more about the importance of taking care of those children's teeth and how parents can do it at home. So thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak with you today.
Your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit insurekidsnow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
You're listening to the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. I'm Heather Vail, and I'm speaking with Grace Sika, Executive Director of Operation Warm. The national nonprofit is teaming up with Subaru to collect and deliver winter clothing to underserved communities across the country. Grace, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited.
So, what is Operation Warm?
Operation Warm is a national nonprofit organization that provides children in under-resourced communities the gift of a brand new winter coat or brand new athletic shoes. And we do it in a way that connects those children to their community.
Okay. Why are families in underserved communities short on the basic essentials of winter clothing?
So for the children that we serve all across the country and in the Las Vegas area, we know that their families are spending about 80% of their income on food and housing alone. So for those families, the extra dollars just aren't there to ensure that every other need is met. And at Operation Warm, we believe that the gift of a brand new coat or a brand new pair of shoes and socks has a serious impact for these kids. It's the difference between getting to school and lower truancy rates and getting outside to play and having those opportunities to connect with their peers emotionally and socially.
Now, you said that you distribute the clothing in a way that involves the community. How exactly does the process work?
So this is, I think, the thing that I'm the most proud of in our organization is that we've really built a way for our program to scale nationally, and it's built on community resources. So at Operation Warm, we manufacture the winter coats and the athletic shoes and the socks to make sure that kids receive a product that they're really proud of. But when we have donors in a community like Subaru in this instance, we work with Subaru to identify other nonprofit organizations in the community that work with children every day. So that could be a Head Start organization, it could be a homeless shelter, or it could be a school in a high needs community. And those nonprofits that are with the children every day help us to validate the need and to make sure that we're serving the children who need it. So when we bring that all together, we end up with these really fantastic community events that not only support the children by making sure they have those items that allow them to get to school, the coat and the shoe, but we also support the administrators and the parents because they're able to feel that community connection and support from other people in their community who want to see the best for their children. And that is really, I think, the magic of what we do. That's why we use the term more than a coat, because we believe that how we meet that basic need really can have an outsized impact on everyone involved.
Awesome. So besides identifying the local nonprofits to receive the coats and shoes, how else is Subaru involved in your latest Operation Warm initiative?
Our partnership with Subaru has really been organic and beautiful and fruitful. And I choose those words really thoughtfully. Subaru is partnering, each retailer across the country is partnered with a beneficiary organization in their community. And that includes volunteer events where those people are giving the gifts directly to the children. In addition to that, we've had some really fantastic opportunities with the Subaru team to talk through our mission and to develop that. The best example is that about 4 years ago, we expanded our program to include shoes. And we had heard from the beneficiaries that we serve that proper fitting shoes was really a challenge for these children. And after talking through the program with Subaru, they layered on and said, you know, what we're hearing is that these communities and these children also have a problem with having socks that fit. So what we did was we added socks to the shoes, and now those products are co-packed together. It was received so well last year in our Subaru program that we've rolled that out nationally. And now every pair of shoes that we give across the country comes with two pairs of socks. So it's exciting to have Subaru's partnership at the community level, but also their involvement in what we do has really created some neat innovations that we're proud of.
So Subaru calls their initiative Loves to Help, and then what they collect during Loves to Help goes to help Operation Warm.
So that's an important distinction, Heather. We actually don't collect items for the children we serve. We manage our own supply chain to ensure that we have the right quality products for the children we serve, and also that there's a variety of style choices. And that was a decision that Operation Warm came to at our inception 25 years ago. And so when the children and their parents walk into these events, there's not one coat for them to choose from. There's 12 to 20 different coats that they get to choose from, different colors, different styles. So when we are working with organizations, they're volunteering at these distribution events or they're donating, but the collection is actually a very different model. That's not what Operation Warm does.
So can community members make financial donations, or does the funding come straight from Subaru's operations?
So we are so appreciative of what Subaru does, and this year we'll serve 130,000 children across the country with them. You know, beyond Subaru, Operation Warm will serve 1 million children. But despite helping 1 million children in 2,500 communities across the country, there's always more need than there are resources. So we currently have about 1 million children who have requested coats and shoes from Operation Warm. So financial donations are always appreciated. And so are the resources of time that people give. We've got a really great volunteer program that we're always eager to have an extra set of hands on. And you can learn about all of this at our website, operationwarm.org/Subaru.
All right. Awesome. So once again, operationwarm.org/Subaru is the website to go to if you want to find out more about, first of all, what Operation Warm does, the coats, the shoes, the socks that they distribute to kids across the nation through various local nonprofits, and how Subaru is helping with their Loves to Help initiative, operationwarm.org/Subaru. And we've been speaking today with Grace Sika. She's the executive director of Operation Warm. And Grace, it's so good to hear about what you're doing for the kids in the community, not just the Las Vegas community, of course, but communities across the nation where kids are in need of those warm coats, the warm shoes, the socks, and how you're partnering with Subaru to have an even bigger impact across the country. So I really appreciate you being here and sharing with us today. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you, Heather, for your time.
When a student lacks some of the most basic needs,
like food, clothing, and school supplies,
it can be challenging to even attend school.
It can be hard to study, tough to concentrate, impossible to thrive.
At Communities in Schools, we address this issue every day.
Out in the community, there are great resources for students, and we bring these resources directly to the students who need them most.
We work to ensure that they have everything they need to re-engage in learning in the classroom and at home,
including access to technology, learning materials,
and even emotional support.
By forging caring relationships with students and bringing communities of support to them,
our staff works to achieve equitable learning conditions so all kids can succeed in school and in life. And that's what Communities in Schools is all about.
To learn more, visit communitiesinschools.org.
I'm Heather Vail, and this is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. Joining me is Sarah Britt, Manager of Corporate Responsibility at People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, or PETA. Plenty of cruelty-free and eco-friendly fabrics are available these days, creating fashions that leave both animals and the planet in peace. Believe it or not, these materials can be made from plants, flowers, vegetables, and more. Sarah, thank you so much for being here today.
Yeah, of course. I'm so happy to be here. I've been looking forward to it.
So I know that pretty much everyone has heard of PETA, but just to clarify, what exactly is People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, or PETA?
Yeah, so PETA is the largest animal rights organization in the world. Through undercover investigations, animal rescue, we do demonstrations, groundbreaking litigation. PETA works to end the use of animals used and killed in laboratory experiments or for food, fashion, entertainment, or really any other reason.
And why should people shop for animal-free clothing?
Well, we wouldn't dare wear the skin of our dogs or cats, right? And so it doesn't make sense to wear the skins of animals who also experience pain, fear, love, just like us. Every piece of leather means that an animal like a cow who just wanted to live their life ended up suffering and dying. But that's not how it has to be. With so many fashionable vegan options available today, there is no acceptable reason to be wearing the bits and pieces of someone else's skin.
Now, if they're going to be killing the cow for meat and whatever anyway, what is harmful about leather and other animal-derived materials beyond those ethics?
Yeah, I mean, more than a billion cows, sheep, and other animals are killed every year for their skins. And most of them endure the horrors of factory farming. So that means they're mutilated without painkillers, they're crammed into filthy pens, and then eventually transported to slaughterhouses where they're violently killed.
So how can shoppers find vegan clothing and accessories?
Yeah, we recommend that people just check the label when they're shopping. If it includes the word leather or wool, down, angora, it really indicates in any other way that it contains the skin, feather, or bits and pieces of an animal, just leave it on the shelf. Luckily, there are so many fashionable vegan options available these days, and PETA offers free downloadable shopping guides for vegan clothes and accessories at PETA.org.
Okay, awesome. Now, let's talk just a little bit about the materials themselves. So back in the day, we had pleather and vinyl, but it was pretty plasticky, and you know, it wasn't very comfortable, and a lot of people didn't like it. What are the vegan materials like today?
Yeah, eco-friendly and animal-free fabrics are everywhere nowadays, even at your favorite stores like Target or Walmart, Macy's. I mean, if you want gorgeous vegan leathers, they've got them. Brands are innovating big time nowadays. They're designing clothes from plants like soybeans and coconuts that mimic wool even, creating vegan down puffer coats from recycled water bottles. I mean, these choices not only save animals and the planet, but they look amazing, too.
Yeah, that's interesting. And what other types of materials can take the place of leather?
Yeah, there are, you know, pork or mushrooms. I had mentioned soybeans. There's tea even. Like, it really runs the gamut. It is incredible today how innovative the vegan space can be. And we really encourage everyone and designers and brands to embrace these really innovative materials instead of sticking with these antiquated skins and fibers from animals that we really don't need anymore that harm animals and also the environment.
Okay. Now, it doesn't sound like cork or soy materials would be comfortable and look great. How exactly are they doing this?
Yeah, it's really innovative. I think it depends on the material. It really is different based on whatever it is. But what we know is that because more and more consumers today are learning about how cool these animal industries are, including the leather industry, that more and more consumers are saying, I don't want to buy that. In addition to the fact that it's bad for the environment, especially young people nowadays are really, you know, purchasing things based on their values. And that includes how they view animals and the planet. And so that's why brands are really stepping up and giving consumers what they want, which is these really innovative, eco-friendly, non-animal materials.
Wow, that's great. Okay, so where can listeners go for more information about cruelty-free and eco-friendly fashions?
Yeah, PETA.org is the place to learn about how making leather from dead animal skin is not only cruel, but it's destroying the planet. And it's also chock full of information about eco-friendly, animal-free materials that will undoubtedly make leather obsolete.
All right. Awesome. So once again, PETA.org is the website to go to. That's PETA, stands for People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, PETA.org. You can find out plenty of information about the new cruelty-free and eco-friendly fashions that are available these days that look great, feel great, and nobody would ever know that they're made out of cork or soy or carrots and vegetables.
I don't know if carrots are one. Maybe.
Flowers, vegetables, plants. And we've been speaking today with Sarah Britt. She's the manager of corporate responsibility at People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, or PETA. And Sarah, I want to thank you so much for being here and letting us know more about these new eco-friendly and cruelty-free fashions and why they are important to take a look at. So thank you so much for your time.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. This was a blast.
Hey, Max, you look absolutely dashing in that purple tie. Ready to harness the world?
You bet, Daisy. I'm ready as I'll ever be. And might I say, your purple tie really pops with your vest.
Thanks. I almost went with a cape, but didn't want to come across as pretentious.
Nonsense. Anyone in our line of work should rock a cape.
You might be onto something, Max.
Phew. So here we go. First day on the job. You've got this, right?
Right. Don't forget, we both graduated from Dogs, Inc. with honors.
Which means I can guide my human around a busy city with ease.
And I can give my human a restful night.
I hope my human is kind and loving.
And I hope mine likes wet kisses and zoomies.
Ready to make a difference?
Born ready. Let's go!
Discover how extraordinary dogs like Daisy and Max change lives at no cost to the recipients. Visit dogsinc.org.
You're listening to the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. I'm Heather Vail, and I'm speaking with Lisa Green Lewis, CPA and TurboTax expert. It's tax season, and getting the most from your return requires some strategy and understanding. Lisa, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
So, what should people know about filing their taxes this year?
Well, first, I would gather everything in one place so you don't leave anything out. So, gather your forms and documents that report your income, like W-2s and 1099s. And then also you want to make sure you gather those forms and receipts for expenses that can be worth deductions. And then second, you can make a 2024 IRA contribution up to $7,000 and $8,000 if you're 50 and over. You can do that by the April 15th deadline, and you may be able to deduct the contribution on your taxes.
Okay. What kind of tax law changes and adjustments should filers know about this year as opposed to previous years?
They're not substantial changes, but there's some I want to highlight that can make an impact on your tax outcome. So the first one is inflation adjustments. And an example of that is the standard deduction. And that has been increased if you're single to $14,600. And married filing jointly, it's $29,200. And then second, the earned income tax credit. It is a substantial credit. So a family with three kids, it's up to $7,830. And the IRS says that about one out of five tax filers miss that credit. So you don't want to miss that. And then we have a change in the 1099 form reporting. So if you're self-employed, work a side gig, and you have payments processed by a third-party provider like Venmo or PayPal, they are required to issue this form if you've had payments processed of $5,000. And that is a change from a much higher threshold before.
Okay. How exactly can we maximize our tax refund or deduction?
You can maximize your refund or deduction by, you know, not missing out on some of those key credits, like the earned income tax credit that I talked about. Or there are some other little known credits like the savers credit, and that is up to $1,000 if you're single, $2,000 married filing jointly, and you get that just for investing in your retirement.
Nice. Okay. What are some common mistakes that people make with their tax returns?
Some common mistakes people make, I would say procrastinating. People who procrastinate, they tend to leave things out. Second, gathering the incorrect Social Security number for your kids. You need the accurate Social Security number in order to claim some valuable deductions and credits for your kids. And then third, I would say not filing at all. So some people may make under the IRS income filing threshold, but if you've had federal taxes taken out and you're eligible for some of the credits I talked about, you're leaving money on the table by not filing.
Yeah. Okay. Now, you mentioned the April 15th tax deadline. What are some other important dates or deadlines to keep in mind?
So there were a lot of disasters last year. So if you've been impacted by a disaster like a wildfire, hurricane, you may have deadline extensions and payment extensions. And that information is available on irs.gov.
What are some of the latest ways to file our taxes?
So with TurboTax, we're giving you done-for-you filing experiences for free. So we have the TurboTax mobile app, and you can file your federal and state taxes for free up until February 18th. And that is if you do your taxes yourself using the mobile app, and it's regardless of your complexity, and also if you're just coming to TurboTax and you didn't use us last year. And then second, we have TurboTax Free Edition. We continue to offer this, and this is for simple tax returns only, and that is a 1040 only. And if you have earned income tax credit, child tax credit, and student loans, and about 37% of tax filers can file with TurboTax Free Edition.
Okay. And what options are available for people who just tuned all that out because they don't want to do their own taxes? They want extra guidance.
Yes. So you can come to TurboTax and you can have our tax experts do your taxes for you. And that can be in as little as 2 hours.
Okay. So where can listeners go to find out more information before filing their taxes this year?
You can go to TurboTax.com.
Okay. TurboTax.com is that website for TurboTax, TurboTax.com. You can find out more about the services available from TurboTax, including the free done-for-you service, the free edition. And if you want extra guidance, of course, you can find out that there as well. She also mentioned IRS.gov. If you're looking for the regulations, some of the deadlines, some of the information, IRS.gov. And we've been speaking today with Lisa Green Lewis. She's a CPA and tax expert. And Lisa, I really appreciate you being here and walking us through some of those great pointers for this tax season. A lot of things people might know, but they forget. It's great to have a refresher. And you provided some information that people probably don't yet know. And it's some welcome news. So thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you for having me.
Did you know? VA home loans are a key to home ownership for those who served.
I would tell anybody who is interested in getting a VA loan to just do it.
For me, the best thing about the VA loan was the simplicity of it. I was expecting, you know, government paperwork, it was going to go on forever, and it just wasn't.
Since the down payment for a VA loan is minimal, we were able to purchase this home and then use the money that we were going to use as a down to actually fix up the home.
And the only way we could do that was because the nest egg that we had saved for the down payment, we didn't have to use because we went the VA route.
This is a wonderful benefit that veterans can take advantage of.
In the military, we make a lot of sacrifices. We're away from our family a lot. And with the VA loan, it's a way that it makes it easier for us to get a home.
To learn more about VA home loans, visit va.gov/homeloans.
I'm Heather Vail with the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show, and this is your community events calendar for nonprofit initiatives and charity events around the Valley. The Nevada chapter of the National Bleeding Disorders Foundation is holding their 10th annual Winter Wine Fest next Friday, February 7th from 7 to 9 p.m. with the VIP experience at 6 p.m. at the Vegas Events Center downtown, 1201 Las Vegas Boulevard, just south of Charleston. Grab a glass of red while supporting those with bleeding disorders. Get your tickets at nv.bleeding.org. That's nv.bleeding.org. Monday's Dark with Mark Chinook is a bi-monthly musical fundraising party at The Space, with each event raising $10,000 for a specific charity in 90 minutes. Upcoming shows include Monday, February 10th at 8 p.m., benefiting the First Friday Foundation, and Monday, February 19th at 8 p.m., benefiting the charity series of poker tournament. Get tickets or find out more details at mondaysdark.com. That's mondaysdark.com. And the Las Vegas Natural History Museum is hosting their third annual Mystery at the Museum with a Lewis Carroll Wonderland theme this year on Saturday, February 22nd from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the Las Vegas Natural History Museum, 900 Las Vegas Boulevard North. A Wonderland Mystery at the Museum is an age 18-plus event, and you can get your tickets or find out more at lvnhm.org. That stands for Las Vegas Natural History Museum, lvnhm.org.